Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of The Rick Emerson Show is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
The following is a production of the Emerson News Network.
You will give me the box right now, or I will kill you right now.
No.
Just give me the box, Marty.
I thought you couldn't kill your friend, Cos.
I missed on purpose. Now give me the box.
Take the goddamn thing. I don't want it. You win, I lose. That's what you want, isn't it? Say it. Say it.
Yes!
I'm sorry, Cos.
You could have shared this with me.
I know.
You could have had the power.
I don't want it.
Don't you know the places we can go with this?
Yeah, I do. There's nobody there.
Exactly. The world isn't run by weapons anymore, or energy, or money. It's run by little ones and zeros, little bits of data. It's all just electrons.
I don't care.
I don't expect other people to understand this, but I do expect you to understand this. We started this journey together.
It wasn't a journey, Cos. It was a prank.
There's a war out there, old friend. A world war. And it's not about who's got the most bullets. It's about who controls the information. What we see and hear, how we work, what we think. It's all about the information.
It is 28 minutes after the hour of 1 of this, the month of June, in the year of our Lord, 2011. Thank you for joining us and making part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the milkpacking district in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon, the home of all good things and peoples. Thank you for joining us today. It is Wednesday, and welcome to day 12. By the way, and a happy birthday to our good friend, Seamus, who turns... How old would you guess that Seamus is, Don Taylor? Before you answer, let me say this. I realize now that Seamus has been listening to the show since, let's see, I just figured this out in my head. Hold on. For 11 years, I think, something like that. And I realize I have no idea how to pronounce his last name. Frumke?
I always pronounce it Frumke in my head.
And then you do Frumke. A little Officer Frumke kind of a thing?
I would guess that he's 32, but then I think everyone is 32, myself included. I just always think people are 32.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
I mean, not for everybody, I suppose.
No, just for me.
Yeah.
I've reached this point. There's this point, I think, when, as an adult, if you're friends with people who are a broad range of ages, from, like, mid-20s to, like, you know, late 50s, that everyone kind of starts to seem almost generally the same age.
Well, that's like that whole thing about when you're growing up, if you're in high school or something, if somebody is 2 years older than you, it's just this world of difference. But it's like once you get to be like 27, it's like no one cares. Yeah. Especially once you get into your 30s. And it's just a big wash of gray hair and impotence. You know? I mean, like really, honestly. By the way, that entire thing when I did the whole Frumke, it was all just so I could say Officer Frumke.
Yeah.
It was all just reverse engineered from that outcome. Anyway, so he was born on June 5th, 1977. June 5th, 1977. So he is now, was that 34? 34, yeah. Wow, what was that?
Nothing.
You're just hitting your head against the microphone.
I can't say that without giving away how old I actually am, which I've tried so desperately to not do all this time.
Okay. Well, look, you've still got your health.
I do.
Sort of. I mean, relatively speaking. Anyway, happy birthday, Seamus. From everyone in our family, you know, to you. To you and yours and all of the snowed-in residents. See, because of South Park, I just assume that in Colorado, everything is just snow-locked all the time. Yeah. They're just like one big ice flow that's in the middle of the country for no real reason.
And they listen to nothing but John Denver songs.
Exactly. Well, that is true. It's just Seamus. It's just, you know, Seamus and his lady friend and his,
giant beanbag.
And his giant beanbag and his many, many cats and his Dr. Octopus arms. And then a whole series of flat-screen televisions. And then the camera does a long draw back into space. And it's all coming from one little cabin in the middle of a whiteout nothingness with a little thin curl of smoke coming out of a chimney at the top.
I also imagine that his girlfriend looks and speaks exactly like Dr. Girlfriend on the Venture Brothers.
Good reference. Well done. Let's see. By the way, just speaking of all things Seamus, so he's given us today's Lulzek update. Today, of course, so yesterday we called the Lulz phone number where the guy's like, I am raping your internet. The voicemail or whatever. Mm-hmm. So apparently today Lulzek is forwarding their phone number to others. The end result of which, by the way, here's the only reason they did this. They made sure that everybody had their phone number so that they could then flood the poor people. I shouldn't laugh at this because it just encourages them. Not that they really need any additional encouragement at this point. They're kind of a perpetual motion engine of juvenile, inane hilarity. So the folks at Lulzek are now flooding the people at magnets.com with 200 calls a minute asking how magnets work. It's so wrong and I shouldn't laugh at it. Oh, then they forwarded the number to World of Warcraft customer support.
Whoa. You
became evil for a second there.
My God.
No, I decided that your cackling laughter needed a sort of hint of menace behind it.
I think I need that, like, all the time.
Yeah. Oh, and then they forwarded the number to the Detroit FBI. Because the FBI in Detroit doesn't have enough problems. There's not enough to worry about in trying to enforce the law in Michigan. Oh, God. All right, let's see. What else do we have? Hey, this is a good question.
Okay.
Is Super 8, that's also a motel chain, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. It's not just the type of camera and based on the 8mm film.
Yeah,
I think
there is a Super 8 motel.
It's one of your more upscale Motel 6s. By the way, my mom's third marriage, honeymoon at a Super 8. Just FYI.
You know, Sue, Motel 6 has those changeable boards that light up with the dots and tell you how much their rooms are.
Yes, they do.
And it seems like when they're charging $56 a night, they're way past calling themselves Motel 6. Because originally, wasn't that why they were called Motel 6? Because their hotel rooms were like $6.
No, I think you're thinking of a flop house or perhaps a box somewhere.
Well, a long time ago, $6 got you a lot. You know?
I don't think Motel 6 is that old. I don't really know. Because the thing is our age manifests itself in different ways. Just like you were saying that everybody you know is sort of like 32 in your head, for me and for a whole generation of people, Motel 6's prices are locked at $28. Because when they brought Tom Baudet on to do their advertising,
yes,
he said, around $28 in most places, a little more in some, a lot less in others.
They were founded in 1962, and the partners developed a plan to build motels with rooms at bargain rates. They decided on a $6 room rate per night that would cover building costs, land leases, and janitorial supplies, hence the company name, Motel 6.
But were they actually able to do that? That seems like even in 1962, you couldn't have a room for $6. I mean, that is amazing. But, I mean, it shows that they had mapped out their brand and their identity and their target market early on, and they stuck. They were the Domino's Pizza of motels even then.
Yeah, they had a very functional interior decor, so it reduced
functional.
The time. It reduced the time necessary to clean rooms. It's just come in and hose it down or something. Instead of color TVs, free color TVs, which were found in the more expensive hotels, they had coin-operated black and white TVs.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And they didn't have any restaurants on site.
And you know, here's the thing: almost none of that has changed. The only difference is now that instead of getting, I mean, they have a bad. If you stay in a Motel 6, which I don't think I've stayed in a Motel 6 for maybe the last time I went to Kennewick, maybe we stayed the last time we were there, not staying with my mom. Maybe I stayed in a Motel 6 on the way to Portland when we moved here. Like Wyreka or one of those cities. I stayed in a Motel 6, but I will tell you that. But I have a sort of a fascination with like low rent, sort of skeezy like motels. Just as part of the popular culture, just as part of the international tapestry of humankind. But I will say this: The last time I stayed in a Motel 6 or any sort of low-rent motel, they had color televisions, but they still didn't have... Like, here's the thing. I don't know how hard it is just to get a television that goddamn works, that just gets the channel. You don't have to have... I would accept, and I think most people would, I would accept 5 channels that you could actually watch, as opposed to, like, 40 channels. A, there's just, like, a little note from me to everybody that runs every motel, and for that matter, every hotel in the world. Less of an issue now, because I just take my laptop with me everywhere, and even before I have my laptop... I would take my Creative Zen, which was sort of what I had before an iPod, and I actually had a little adapter that was specifically so that I could plug my Zen into motel room and hotel room televisions and just bring movies with me and just watch them off my Zen on the television. Because here's the thing, it's just a little confidential from me, confidential from Rick to motel management. In addition to having channels that actually work, how about this? How about actually like leaving a thing on the television that tells me what the channels are? So I'm going 14. Could be CNN. Could be Univision. Could be the Gemstone Channel. Can't quite tell. Guess I'll watch for an hour to figure out what it is. And even then, it doesn't matter because the horizontal hold is always all fritzed up. And you go, well, this is really great. And then the picture just starts to do that scrolling upward thing. And it becomes totally unwatchable. So in any event, what was my point? Oh, so the cheap motels now, I think, they have color television, but because you still can't actually watch anything, they compensate for that by just having really, really thin walls. So you have sort of a live-action reality show going, and next door the neighbors are, like, hooking, you know, for $10 or something.
I took a 2-week road trip with my best friend. It was the second time I'd come to Portland. I was thinking of moving here and wanted to visit, and she had some vacation time. So we decided to just do this big, long 2-week road trip and drive places and hit Portland and go back around and down and do these different things. And I think it was like 4 nights running during that we stayed at Motel 6s. Like Motel 6, drove all day, stayed at Motel 6, drove all day, stayed at Motel 6. And we realized we just couldn't keep doing that because they all look exactly alike.
Yeah.
So it became this weird, surreal feeling of being on a loop and not actually ever getting anywhere.
Making no progress.
We just kept checking back into the same motel room over and over again, and it really started to screw with our heads.
That is kind of creepy. I didn't really... The thing about the Motel 6 that I found comforting was that, and I imagine I don't have any reason to believe that this has changed, is that they are all on exactly the same floor plan, as you said. And so it is... I think that is part of their genius, A, because it makes it easy to manufacture because you don't have to come up with blueprints for every hotel. I mean, it's all, you know, it's always the same. And then also, you know, that if you are traveling a lot, I guess it is that thing for like the business traveler or like the economy prostitute where you always feel like you are coming back home because it's exactly the same thing that you left. The what is his name? It's not Alec John Such. Is it Tico Terrazza? The guy who's the drummer for Bon Jovi. He talked about when they got off tour, I guess from maybe the Slippery When Wet tour. It wasn't a Motel 6, but it was like a Days Inn, where he said that he had actually stayed in Days Inns so often. And of course, Days Inn at that point was the same way, where every hotel, every Days Inn room was on the same blueprint. And he said they actually had stayed on the road for so long and were just so completely burned out and frazzled from just road exhaustion that the first thing he did when he moved back home is he paid like $100,000 to have his bedroom made to look like a Days Inn room. Which, I mean, is sort of awesome and kind of creepy and sad and wonderful all at once and sort of psychotic, but great.
Oh.
Let's see. What else do we have here?
I have a quick little breaking news.
Oh, you have actual breaking news.
I have actual local breaking news.
All right. Here's some breaking news
from Portland.
Don Taylor.
An ammonia leak at Alpenrose Dairy in southwest Portland has firefighters asking neighbors to shelter in place after employees were evacuated. Paul Corr of the Portland Fire and Rescue Bureau says Shattuck Road and Vermont are closed and the leak is somewhat small, but the smell of ammonia is strong in the neighborhood after a valve snapped at the facility. Neighbors in the area south of Beaverton-Hillsdale Highway, east of Olson Road, north of Vermont, and west of Southwest 55th Avenue should close your doors and windows and stay tuned to news and emergency reports.
Stay in your homes. So this is an ammonia leak?
An ammonia leak at Alpenrose Dairy.
And where is that at?
Beaverton, Hillsdale Highway, Shattuck.
Oh, it's not near
Southwest.
Me. It's nowhere near us or anywhere I'm going to be today.
No.
All right, excellent. So I don't really have to worry about
and
that.
And it'll probably be all fixed by the time we're done here. But.
All right. Yeah. That's unless I decide to go on television, at which point it'll last for like 9 hours. All right, excellent. Fantastic. There you go. There's your little bit of breaking news. It's, there you go. So it's an ammonia leak Somewhere in Beaverton. So that's what you get for living in the suburbs. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for joining us. It's 503-505-6964. If you'd like to be part of today's program via the telephone, 503-505-6964. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. That is Rick at RickEmerson.com or Don, D-A-W-N, at RickEmerson.com. Text box open on the website. Or you can also get at us via Skype if you like. That is all one word. Rick Emerson Show via Skype. That is Rick Emerson Show via Skype and or showpony at rickemerson.com. Today, Penis Watch, Taser Watch, also Mr. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week going to be joining us. Screen editor Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week, plus Don Taylor tracking the following headlines for you on this Wednesday.
Russia sees a number of illegal animal parts, including 26 elk lips. An aging senior fellow with multiple personalities wearing fake breasts is found after he wanders off and gets lost. And bald eagles attack a post office.
Wearing fake breasts, you say?
Yes, fake breasts.
Okay, there you go. Anyway, so all that is on the way. So I promised that I would get to I'll get to this radio thing in a moment. So I mentioned this last hour during Legion of News. I meant to put up I meant to put something on Twitter about it, and then I didn't. But I will. I'll just say this. That I have who to thank for this. I have listener. Let's see. I have listener Kevin, I believe. So I have listener Kevin, who actually, and you probably don't remember this, but you will once I say, once I prompt you, you will know what I'm talking about. This is listener Kevin, who about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, tipped us off to a radio station that he had listened to, and he suggested that I tune in for Hijinks and Hilarity. Do you remember the name of the radio station?
No, I don't.
Okay, we'll get.
I vaguely remember the anecdote, but I don't remember the station.
I listened to it this morning, and I can tell you, it was astonishing. It was just, it's not like I have some sort of, well, I don't want to get off into a whole thing before we talk about your geek trivia. So we'll talk about geek trivia from last night, then, because I don't want to, because otherwise it's going to have to wait till next hour, so, because we're just going to get so hopelessly sidetracked. But we should say that congratulations are due to you, also to Thomas Gill, and to who else was on your geek trivia team?
Glenn Peters, who we know from the text boxes and stuff as Gray Enigma.
All right.
And Mr. David Walker.
Woo! And also...
Did I miss someone? Oh, and Andrew Hill.
Yes, Andrew Hill.
I can't miss him. Andrew Hill, my acupuncturist chiropractor.
And so by how much did you defeat everybody else at Geek Trivia?
Quite a bit, actually. Really? We tied for first in the first round with 21 points. There are 20 questions per round. I'm not sure what the total possible points were. Some of the questions have multiple points, like bonus points if you can name X, X, and X. We got 21 points in the first round, and I believe we had 29 points in the second round.
Well done. Excellent.
And we won by, I think we actually had four more points than the second place team.
And so Court and Bobby don't actually compete. They just run the thing, right?
Right.
Okay. So who was your nearest competition? I mean, is there anybody that is constantly just threatening to take over
the... Well, the big people to beat, apparently, everyone always keeps talking with this sort of hushed sort of sense of wonder, is the Castros. Apparently, Ryan Castro and his sister, his wife, I'm not sure he is, but the two of them and their team, and they also have just a big team of ringers. They get a bunch of geeks in there. But apparently, the Castros are the ones to beat every week.
Now, he's not the guy that won the Geek Limpathon. That was Andrew Hill and Chris Walsh, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
No, the Castros, that was Thomas Gill was talking about. He's apparently Thomas Gill's like mortal enemy or something. They had like some blood feud going about geek trivia because Thomas actually said, Gil was like, I got to come back in September, if only to beat Ryan Castro. And so I guess that because he's coming back for the Geek in the City Awards that are coming up, you know, the Scott and Aaron are doing those awards in September, but he's staying, I think, an extra day or two while he's here because he apparently is, it was like on his mental to-do list that he had to beat Ryan Castro at trivia, but it sounds like that may have been accomplished last night.
Well,
so.
Yeah, and I'm just, it was so foolish because I'm not sure who it was supposed to be, you know, his team. But I get there, and David Walker's like waves me down. I'm like, David Walker, and he's like, yes, I showed up to be on your team. I was like, hooray! So we're there, and then Thomas Gill comes over, and I was like, oh yeah, you're not on our team. He said, well, I got kicked off my other team. They already had five people, and I was like, fools, idiots, fools. How can you not have Thomas Gill on your team? He knows everything.
Seriously.
So yeah. So and then Glenn Peters, also a depth of trivia knowledge, and then Dave Walker and I managing to sort of fill up the holes with esoteric movie knowledge. And we did very, very well. We were very, very proud of ourselves.
Excellent. Congratulations. Do we have, did you say you brought sample questions with you?
I do. I have some of the questions, some easier than others.
All right. So these are sample questions from last night's installment of Geek Trivia.
All right. According to the Muppets cover of Bohemian Rhapsody, everyone can see that nothing really matters but what?
Oh, God, I have no idea. I mean, I could guess, but it would just be a guess.
It would be moi, as sung by Miss Piggy.
Oh, I guess I should have just played that. I should have just said it in my head, and then it all would have made sense. All right.
One of the biggest technological advances in the last 20 years is texting. Pictures of my dick don't just appear magically on your mom's phone. Technology put them there. SMS is the industry term for text capability on your phone. What does SMS stand for?
I know, I'm just going to guess and say, like a standard messaging system.
It's actually short messaging service. Or system. And we actually got that one wrong because Thomas was completely convinced it was simple messaging. And so we actually got that one wrong. And, oh, you should see the look on his face.
Well,
he realized he missed a tech question.
And that's one of those things that I probably read at some point but didn't even bother to commit to memory because why would I need to know it?
Let's see. Trying to think. Some of these were very, very simple in the first day. Duke Nukem Forever finally came out today.
Yeah.
It exists. It sucks, but it finally exists. Which of the following took longer to finish? Duke Nukem Forever, FDR's presidency, or the Great Depression?
Wait, of the three, which is the longest?
Right.
Wait. The Great Depression.
No, it was actually Duke Nukem Forever.
Nah.
It took longer. FDR's presidency, I think, was the second longest thing because he was a
12.
Four-term president. Three-term. Yeah, president. But yeah, Duke Nukem Forever took longer.
See, and I was just banking on the fact that the Great Depression went all the way to World War II, but apparently not. All right.
In the film Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Indy, Short Round, and the Screamy Blonde Thing sit down to have a four-course meal at Pencott Palace. The meal starts with something called Snake Surprise and ends with what dish as a dessert?
Oh, God. This is why I'm. See, this is why I don't go, because then I would just sit there and I'd just beat myself about stuff that I probably know in some place in my brain that I just don't have. Is it, Christ, hold on a second. And I can see the room they're sitting in. It's not like monkey brains or something, and it's not eyeballs, but it's something horrible. What is it?
It is monkey brains, but to actually get the point, you had to say chilled monkey brains, which was the actual dish. As Court said, just plain monkey brains are gross.
Yeah, see, and I guess I was going to say monkey brains, but then again, it's that thing of everything conflates, because I was conflating it with faces of death.
And we actually got that one right, sadly. Many are referring to Super 8 as a combination of E.T., Cloverfield, and most importantly, Stand By Me. For 1 point each, what are the names of the four main characters in Stand By Me? First names are fine.
Chris, Gordy, Vern, and Teddy.
Yes! Good for you.
Yeah. Well, that's easy.
Well, actually, we were stuck on Vern and Teddy for a while.
Yeah.
And it took, and I think I pulled those out at the very, very end. Which of these automobile brands has James Bond never driven in a Bond movie? Saab, Ford, Dodge, or AMC?
I have no idea. I would never get that in a million years.
Dodge.
I have no James Bond knowledge of any sort, and I have no vehicular knowledge of any kind.
Which of the following was not voiced by Mel Blanc? Daffy Duck, Astro Justin, Barney Rubble, or Speedy Gonzales?
What was the second one?
Astro Jetson.
It would be Astro Jetson.
Yes, there you go. And I'll ask you two more. South Park doesn't adhere too much to continuity, but for a brief period after one of Kenny's deaths, he stayed dead. The boys had to hold tryouts for a new friend as a parody of a popular reality show. For 1 point each, name the winner of the contest and the show they were parodying.
Well, the winner was Timmy, wasn't it?
No.
Because it wasn't Clyde, and it wasn't Token. And it wasn't who's the is it Jimmy? Is he the kid on braces?
Yeah. No, it wasn't him either.
Yeah, I have no idea who it was.
It was Tweak.
Really?
Yes. Originally, they had made Butters their friend, and then they kicked Butters out, and that's why he became Dr. Chaos. Dr. Chaos.
Or Professor Chaos.
Professor
yeah.
Chaos. And then they held the bachelor things with the roses.
Wait,
that was
it sounds like it was Butters was the winner, but then he lost to Tweak.
No, they picked Butters in a parody of, I believe, The Apprentice.
Okay.
And then he got fired. And so then they got a whole bunch of people to audition, and they did a whole thing of The Bachelor.
All right.
And they took Tweak.
This is way too hard. No.
And then finally, how many replicants does Deckard kill in Blade Runner? And for bonus points, name them.
Oh, God. No, I'm not even going to attempt it. I've shamed myself so badly here.
But that's the sort of thing that you can expect from Geek.
See, and that's why I don't go. It's like, as I mentioned, it's like that time. It would be like that night that Lara and Cheryl and... and our friend Elisa and I all went to a Wire trivia night. And it's like, here's the thing. Compared to the general population, I get a lot of Wire trivia. I mean, I could do Wire trivia all day compared to just the average jerk off the street. But it's like you put me in a room full of nothing but Wire fans, and we were just shamed. We were just hosed. And then it's like we felt like we had to kill ourselves.
The last question was about, like, the names of the cities for the real world. Between years 1 and 10. Years 1 and 10 were New York. I couldn't have named a single one. No. There were 8 of them, and I was just going, I think one of them was San Francisco.
Yeah.
I never watched the Real World.
No, it would have been totally pointless for me to try to. That's why I don't go, because then I never actually have to prove any of my geek knowledge. It remains theoretical. Yeah. Yeah. It remains a thing that people think I have. It never actually has to be revealed that it's all a hoax.
So I was the mastermind behind putting together the team, and basically everybody ended up with swag. Like, everyone got comic books and things, and I ended up with the gift certificates. So I'm doing well. At the end, David Walker was going to take the gift certificate, and then he had the $20 gift certificate, and then he was going to take this really, yes, if he could have this really big, fancy book of somebody's art, Jim somebody. I didn't know what it was. I was like, sure, but you got to give the gift certificate.
Excellent.
So
we should read this email. It says, hi, Rick and Dawn. This is from Walter in Rotterdam. It is 10:30 p.m. here. Thanks to my wife being out of town for 10 days, I get to listen live. Got to have something to do while I'm waiting for the NHL Stanley Cup final that starts at 2:30 a.m. Best show ever, Walter in Rotterdam, the Netherlands. P.S. I am a new subscriber since PayPal billed me today for my monthly subscription.
Ooh.
Well, hello and welcome again.
Hiya.
And whatnot. Yeah, everybody knew everybody knew the South Park thing, except for me. And apparently that is the same episode with the underwear gnomes. Just FYI. All right, coming up in just a bit, we got Mr. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week. He's going to be joining us. Also, Penis Watch, Taser Watch coming up, and so forth. So I said that I was going to be talking about this, so I should probably... And we did the breaking news, right?
Yes.
All right. Let's see. Two pieces of business. First is this. This is... not really more ruminations on the killing, but just a little fun fact. Rick and Dawn, thought you guys might be interested and might already know this, but just in case, the penultimate episode of The Killing, about which you have spoken so much, was directed by Keith Gordon. Keith Gordon was Arnie Cunningham in John Carpenter's movie version of Christine. He was also Thornton Mellon's kid. He was Rodney Dangerfield's kid in Back to School. He's turned out to be a good director, too. I love the way he shot that creepy scene in Drexler's house in the last episode. Last scene was just awesome. Figured I'd pass that along. So that's Bryant in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, Keith Gordon, actually, he directed a film version of the book The Chocolate War, which is just excellent. Absolutely excellent.
See, I dig those guys when it's like they're able to sort of make a second act for themselves, especially if they're actors and they realize that that's not really going to pan out for them, and then they move into directing. Because sometimes when a guy goes, well, I really want to direct, it just means, like, I can't get any work. But occasionally, it's like the head of the class guy, the Ricky Smith dude from Better Off Dead, who ends up just being this maven of Nickelodeon, where he just produces, like, everything on the freaking channel. All right, before we talk to Aaron Mesh, and we'll probably spread this out throughout the day, I want to play a little bit of this radio station that I was listening to this morning. So listener Kevin had tipped us off to this. He says, this is from a few weeks back, he said, hey, while in Louisiana for Army, I came across a radio station called... And I don't know how he would have done this, because the radio... Well, I guess maybe the Intertron, because the station actually isn't in Louisiana. So I guess he must have been listening online because he didn't have his regular, like, his hometown station or whatever. Whatever he had been listening to was no longer available to him. It says, while in Louisiana for Army, I came across a radio station called... The Bone!
Oh, that's right.
All of their station promos had slogans like, bone your ears, you're on the bone, and so forth. According to their website, by the way, 2011's bone rock girl is Britney. And then Kevin types, let's all hear it for Britney. So I stumble, I file this away under, like, things I got to do one of these days. And this morning, as I was just sitting there, By the way, I should point out that I had a bit of a... We may not actually get to the audio until after Aaron calls, but I should point out I had a bit of a day yesterday, and I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, just one of those things where it's like... Where my mom, my sister, and Thomas Gill were all in town at more or less the same moment. It was all sort of overlapping. None of them had transportation. All of them had to be taken either to the airport or somewhere else, which is fine, and I don't mind doing it.
And apparently, Thomas said that he tried his best to actually lure you into Geek Trivia last night, that you drove him there, and he got you to, you pulled up outside the place, but he just couldn't get you out of the car.
That was not going to happen.
Into the event.
Well, let's have no illusions. First of all, I wouldn't have gone anyway, but also I could not have gone because I had to go back home because my sister... So my mom was here like Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then Thomas was here Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And again, I absolutely, and I mean this sincerely, I don't mind taking that guy anywhere. Like I would drive him to the Dakotas and back, because really without him, this whole thing would just fall apart in like a day and a half. Without him and Cheryl, this would just, we would just come apart at the seams, and then the seams would come apart at the molecular level. It would not work at all. But then as soon as I dropped him off, I had to get back home because my sister, who lives in Canada, actually was passing through here for like 5 hours on the way to Alabama. And so she had 5 hours, which she wanted to spend at my house. So it's like I had to then get there. And then I had to take my sister to the airport at midnight, after which I came back home. After which I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to take my wife to the airport. So it's like the last 3 days have just been me driving people to various places.
Some of these people need to learn to take taxis.
That's, really from your mouth to God's ear. So anyway, but so then I got home this morning at 5:30 or whatever. I've been taking a lot of the airport. I'm like, well, I'm awake. What will I do? I guess I'll listen to The Bone. I just went to this folder that I keep of stuff to do when I have no, when I'm sort of at loose ends. And this was the loosest of ends. So Kevin had sent me the link to the radio station. We'll listen to just a bit of this because I don't know how much time we'll have. But let me just cue this up. So this is this is not a joke. This is a real radio station. This is on the West Coast. So he must have just have found it online when he was in the military. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I give you the mellifluous sounds of... I missed, by the way, I didn't get a chance to record the single best/worst thing they did all morning, which was a sort of parody. It was like a pre-produced comedy bit, and it was a woman pretending to be Sarah Palin, and it was just so relentlessly bad. It was bad. It was worse than cancer. It's one of the worst things I've ever heard, and I didn't get a chance to do that, but so we'll just pick it up from the beginning. And this is I don't know, it's Skeeter and Jowly and Fire Lad and whatever in the morning and Skull Boy. So this is we'll just pick this up from where it begins. This is the next sound you hear will be that of The Bone in your ear.
107.7 The Bone. That is Van Halen, and Jamie's crying at 7:34. So you got that song coming up for Billy Garrity, who's fishing right now.
Yes,
wants to hear a little Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Sure.
Got that moaning coming up girl in a few noises moments. In the back?
Yes.
Sully. He is Sully's pissed right now at
us. Well,
man.
Sully, why be pissed? Yeah, it's really hard to tell it's you in that second picture.
Yeah, wait till you hear wait till you see the third and fourth picture of him, the Borat thong.
So apparently what the deal is, they've taken their stunt boy. Every radio station has a zany lad that they send out on the street, or that they just make do embarrassing things.
Yes.
Sort of the big gym to the Bones Marconi. And so they apparently have taken this guy Sully, who's like their stunt boy, and they've jammed him into a thong, and then they put up because he's a big fat guy with a lot of hair, so you put him in a thong, and then you put the photos on the internet. Now, why do you think they're doing that, Don? Why do you think they've decided to put this fine young fellow in a closely fitting piece of swimwear?
For lulls.
Well, of course, everything is for lulls, Don. Please, no. We'll find out.
Trying to find him a date?
No. It's nothing that interesting.
Second picture, I'm actually questioning Baby Huey's selection process.
Judgment.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, by the way, that Baby Huey's yet another member of their extended cast.
It's up there now. I mean, if you want to take a look or check it out or even tweet it.
Every hour, it's Wiener Wednesday. We have pictures of Sully in a thong.
It's Wiener Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right, Don. Let's hear that
every
again.
Every hour, it's Wiener Wednesday. We have pictures of Sully in a thong, just like Anthony Wiener.
The best part is how they have to then clarify that it's just like Anthony Weiner.
Right.
Because you might, I mean, and to be fair, you might actually think that Weiner Wednesday was just a thing that was like a heritage bit, a thing that they've been doing since the Carter administration.
Wrong, just like Anthony Weiner.
One more time. Just
well, it's up there now. I mean, if you want to take a look or check it out or even tweet it.
Why? Every hour, it's Weiner Wednesday.
That's right.
Pictures of Sully in a thong, just like Anthony Weiner.
Maybe you're romancing a certain gal. You're afraid to tweet a picture of yourself.
Tweet a picture of Sully. Are we tweeting this all over, too, on our Twitter account?
I think we are. Gotta ask Baby Yoda.
I think we are. I just got an email from Lauren from Benicia. Said, hey, I think all three of you guys should have pictures of you guys in thongs. I don't think so.
He said, I don't think so.
They all look naked anyway. Lamont, your woodly doodly would be hidden by your muffin top.
Okay.
Okay, I kind of admire that turn of phrase there.
I gotta
give that guy props for that.
Your woodly doodly would be hidden by your muffin top.
Yeah, I couldn't pull that off. That was something.
Now, when you say you admire, do you mean like you just wouldn't be able to make yourself say that?
Your
mouth wouldn't form the words out of just like dexterity issues or just out of shame?
But all of that. I would never think of that. I believe you said widdly diddly.
Let's hear it one more time, shall we?
Hey, I think all three of you guys should have pictures of you guys in thongs. I don't think so. You would all look naked anyway. Lamont, your woodly doodly would be hidden by your muffin top. Come on now.
Wow.
Your woodly doodly.
Tinelli's wood would be hidden by all of his hair.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that.
See, but then he diminishes it by just saying his wood. It's like whatever points he earned by sort of linguistic creativity there, he then immediately undercuts himself by just calling it his wood.
That's like it's like a phrase you would say, you know, to exercise your mouth before you went on stage or something. Your woodly diddly would be covered by your muffin top.
So
you know, if
you
could say that five
like
times.
Who actually, by looking at this picture, you're wondering if he has a woodly doodly.
See, and then, by the way, he does. He uses that phrase like seven more times over the next 20 minutes.
Who's doing that laugh?
Somebody, maybe that's Baby Huey. Maybe that's Scully or Sully or whatever his name is. Oh, and Seamus knows that actually is not even his phrase. It was a listener writing in who said that. But it might. Who knows? That might be a term that they created on the.
Let me see here. Confucius. Guy wants to go golfing. What else we got here? Oh my God! Look at the pictures of Sully and his woodly doodly.
Again, third time, 30 seconds.
This guy has been tweeting these all morning now. Every hour, we got another one for you on the webpage. Sully, you were telling me yesterday at the Hooter Palooza, you had a great time.
at the what? I'm
the
sorry,
band
the
was
what?
Spectacular.
That's what I'm saying. You have it's. I mean. Realize that I have not edited this at all. This is what they call unscoped. This is just, I tuned in this morning and I listened for like 30 seconds. And if you've been looking in the window, like if you were a squirrel, let's say, and if you've been looking in the window of my home office, here's what you would have seen. You would have seen me sitting down and I had, my morning glass of milk or whatever. And I fired up the laptop and I was like, I got some time to kill this morning. Could I ever get to work or anything? Maybe I'll listen to that bone station that guy told me about. How bad could that be? And then it's like, it was playing like 5 seconds. And then I was just scrabbling to find the record button on my laptop. I'm like, where's my record? And it was, meanwhile, there's just gold going by, like going, just gold going through the pan and down the sluice, vent. And I'm just losing it. So I just started from the beginning. I have not edited or altered this at all. I just started, I just hit record. And it was like, and the genius just came. It was just extruded like some sort of oral Play-Doh device.
Wow, this is out of San Francisco?
Yeah. By the way, check out the, do they have a picture of the midday guy? His name is like Stephen, like Sea Hag or
Seaweed. Stephen Seaweed.
Also, he's like 170 years old. I don't know.
Oh,
which...
and he's wearing a tie-dye shirt.
Okay, but look at him in that photo. And by the way, Aaron Mesh is on the line, so we'll get to Mr. Aaron Mesh in a second, and then we'll continue with The Bone. Is that the tie-dye picture, the one where it looks like he's got, I hate to say this, the only way that I can come. Do you remember in Schindler's List when the kids are trying to look more lifelike and so they just put the big drops of blood on their cheeks?
Yeah.
Doesn't his makeup look like that?
Yeah, and he's just got that rictus smile and he's got his arm around a dog. Like, that'll make him look more human. Oh, God. And there's somebody on there called Jaeger.
Yeah. What's the afternoon girl's name?
Nikki Black.
How do you spell
Black? Two Ks.
Two Ks. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, Jaeger. The picture of Jaeger. See him?
No, you can tell. No, see, the thing is, he doesn't just play The Rock. He lives The Rock.
He lives The Rock. He is The Rock.
What is the website for this
His
if people want to go?
Leif Jaeger.
If people people want to go to this website, Don, what is the?
That would be www.1077thebone.com.
There's no hyphens or whatever.
1077 The Bone.
1077 The Bone.
And you can join their listener club and be what, Rick? A bonehead.
Really? It's not you're going to be boned?
No, be a bonehead.
Be a bonehead.
Let's see what the benefits are of being a... Why join the bonehead workforce? It says... You'll get exclusive benefits, including boneheads-only access to special promotions like the Bone Rock Girl Search. Weekly bonehead email featuring other exclusive contests to win. Great stuff like Contour. Remember, you need to be a registered bonehead to take advantage of these deals.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
That's fantastic. We'll continue with that here in just a second. I've got, I mean, really, it just, I just rolled virtual tape on this all morning. It was just like I could just... As you said during Legion of News, it's like we didn't even have to have news or anything else today. I just I knew that that we were just going to have pure fried and sliced gold here. Let's see if I can turn this up. To welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio Program from Willamette Week, our good friend and stylish man of the world and raconteur, Aaron Mesh. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, Rick. How are you?
I'm fine. We were just listening to the radio stylings of 107.7 The Bone.
Lamont Antonelli.
Is that who? Is
That's
that
their
the
names.
Bone.
Lamont and Tonelli.
Are those the paid laughers in the
yes,
background?
Yes, those are the guys. That's the morning show.
We were listening to the morning show at 107.7 The Bone, where it apparently all day it's Wiener Wednesday.
And, well, sometimes you wonder to yourself, so I've got this Rhodes Scholarship.
Exactly.
What am I going to do with it? I mean, what really, in a practical sense, am I going to make of this education that I have?
I have this...
And then you think to yourself, 107.7 The Bone.
I have this communications technology created by Guglielmo Marconi and Nikola Tesla, which is actually so unbelievably futuristic even now that it almost seems like magic. How shall I demean and dilute its importance? For the love of God Almighty. How are you, sir? How are things in your world?
Oh, you know, it's always Wiener Wednesday in my world.
They also, by the way, they also have Ta-Ta Tuesday.
Of course they do.
And Dirty Friday.
What happens on, Ta-Ta Tuesday, that seems
Dirty
like,
Friday?
What happens on Dirty Friday? Is there an explanation?
That's not even alliterated.
No, it's not.
That's so lazy. They could have done Filthy Friday.
I clicked on Dirty Friday, and
they
I just got a four.
Another F word for Friday?
I just got a 404 error page, apparently.
Really?
It's an out-of-date bookmark. Apparently they don't have... Dirty Friday.
It's Fail Friday, yeah. Apparently. You see, that's maybe they've got an opening for marketing director or promotions director, Aaron. You find it maybe the whole.
I feel like I could do this in my sleep.
You find like the whole right brain thing
is. I could just hand them filthy juvenile third grade jokes about boobies, and they would be happy.
I think Lamont and Tonelli, they're syndicated.
Really?
You can hear
and
them
they would pay
all
me,
over.
And they would pay me $80,000 a year.
Oh. There's what's his name in his thong?
Oh, God.
For Wiener Wednesday.
Okay.
Who is he? Is that Baby Huey?
No, that's Sully, I believe.
That's Sully.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know who Baby Huey is.
That's Sully and his Baby thong.
I'm just letting them know on your airwaves now that I would do it for 70.
Okay, so you will low bid. You'll underbid anybody who's actually at that gig right now.
Yep.
All right. Well, so we'll here's the thing. Just by the way, before we move on, first of all, A, good catch on the fact that the Dirty Friday isn't – and why wouldn't they just go with Filthy Friday? I mean, if they're already doing the Wiener Wednesday, and I'm assuming they do like a mandatory Metallica or like a whole lot of lead kind of a thing, they must. So why would they then – unless they're trying to do sort of like a science of audience attention thing where Dirty Friday gets your attention because it's different. It's the one that's not alliterative. But I feel like we might be giving them a little too much credit there.
Oh, and
we probably are. A part of me feels like they must have like had some kind of tie-in with the club Dirty.
Hooterpalooza, by the way, was a bikini contest with over 50 of the Bay Area's hottest Hooter girls. VIP seating was available. And it featured live music from Long Con Bon, a tribute to AC/DC.
No, I have. Here's the thing: I swear to you, I have a song. What are they called?
Long Con Bon.
Why? What does that even mean? I mean, there's Bon Scott who sang for AC/DC.
I don't know.
All right,
but they're an AC/DC tribute.
But when the guy says it was a Hooterpalooza, that's what Hooterpalooza was.
Right.
It was a bunch of chicks and then this band.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
What was it called
again? Called Hooterpalooza.
Yeah.
Of course it was.
Don't pretend
it's
not bookmarked.
That's a great name.
This, I know that that's probably your home. That's the homepage on Firefox for you. I know it. Here's the thing. Like, I swear to you, like 2 minutes later in this air check, Don, and it really doesn't even air check. It's just crap I randomly recorded from them. Like 2 minutes from now, you're going to get to hear a song. And it's not just any song. And nor is it an AC/DC cover song, Don. I don't want you to investigate anything else about that band on the website. If there's anything else about Long Kong Dong, whatever the hell they're called, don't look at it, because I want to surprise you with this AC/DC parody song that you'll get to hear performed by their AC/DC-esque band that played at Hootapalooza. So we'll get to that here in just a few. I feel bad because there's no way to segue from this into Terrence Malick. It just doesn't really. It's not a thing that really flows naturally. So how about that Tree of Life film that won at Cannes, Aaron Mesh? How about that?
Well, I don't know how to segue. But it is my favorite film of the year. It's gorgeous. It life changing is a strong word. Possibly two words, but it's very good.
Is it now?
It has dinosaurs. It has meditations on God that go on for about an hour or so. It has the entire evolution of the universe. Basically, it's a reason to continue being a part of the human race. Whereas, you know, Wiener Wednesday is a pretty good reason to just exterminate us all.
in some sort of a story that ends with before police finally subdued him. So Tree of Life. So it won because it won the Palm. Is it Palm? How do you pronounce that?
Palm d'Or,
which is the grand prize. And is it a thing? Like everybody, whenever Terrence Malick posts out a film, which let's be honest, is not like that often, because I think he's only made it like four or something. There's a sort of discussion about, is this the thing that's going to get wide release, or is this the thing that'll probably bring him to a mainstream audience? But I mean, for better or worse, and I think it is to his credit, that Terrence Malick doesn't really seem like a guy who's interested in a lot of mainstream attention for his films. I mean, he kind of makes the movies he makes, and if people like him, great, and if not, you know, he didn't really. For whatever one wants to say about Terrence Malick
hasn't given an interview since 1975. I'm not sure he's worried about his box office.
Yeah, and it's like, and whatever you see on the screen, it does, for better or worse, represent his pure, his pure distilled vision. I mean, it's not like a guy who waters anything down. So, when is that coming? When is that opening? When is it coming out here?
It opened last Friday.
Really?
at Fox Tower.
Don, what is the? Do you know anybody who has seen Tree of Life?
I suspect that everybody was sort of busy with Super 8, which was also pretty good too.
I haven't talked directly to any of the critics I know that have seen it. I know a couple of people have seen it. I know Aaron Mesh; he liked it.
He said it was life-changing.
Yes, he did. But no, I've heard both very, very good things. A lot of what I've heard is that there are people who would have loved it unreservedly if it wasn't for some of the very long passages of like watching the Earth evolve or whatever it was.
But, so you weren't kidding when you said that it shows the evolution of the Earth. That's a thing that's actually there.
There is an hour, almost hour long sequence, maybe 45 minutes of the development of life, beginning with the Big Bang and moving through, small volcanoes, craters, asteroids, small microscopic life forms, dinosaurs deciding whether or not to kill each other and having long thought processes about this. These are very meditative dinosaurs. They're not just fighting in the streets.
Well, okay. I honestly had no. I think maybe it was because everything that I sort of read about it, they were. I think the synopses that I had read of Tree of Life, you would get to about the third or fourth sentence, and they would just kind of throw up their hands, and they would describe it as just sort of a meditation on life and its meaning, and they wouldn't really give much in the way of plot points beyond that. But now that sort of makes sense, because I guess it's probably biting off a lot.
It's an impossible film to summarize, and it's an impossible film to market. I think the funniest thing I've seen about it so far is that the marketing people from Fox Searchlight down in Los Angeles started tweeting that the ArcLight in Los Angeles was having a 4:20 p.m. screening of The Tree of Life. Wink, wink, nudge,
yes,
nudge.
Yes.
And that strikes me as being fair. I think this is a movie that it would not be unreasonable to smoke a big bowl and then go see.
Here's a silly question. So Terrence Malick films, I mean, Is it that everybody who works on these films, is he one of those directors that guys will just come and they'll like work for scale? Or is he getting, is it just like all overseas financing or whatever? Because I just can't see people handing him a lot of money to make movies.
This project's been going for 32 years. So it's very possible. And I think it went through four different financial backers at one point or another. So I think mostly what Terrence Malick has going for him is a tremendous amount of patience. He's not in any rush to complete a film. So I don't know all of the financial details on that. Eventually Fox Searchlight did most of the backing on this, but I think even they considered backing out at one point.
Let's see. I'm just reading this email. Somebody said Saw Tree of Life. This is actually somebody said Saw Tree of Life, and this is a reference to a book that I've talked a lot about in the last year. And he said it is like you're trying to summarize your Bill Bryson book about the history of the entire universe, short history of nearly everything. There's this book by Bill Bryson, A Short History of Nearly Everything, in which he attempts to summarize in about 500 pages not only the entire creation of an evolution of the natural world, but the creation and evolution and advancement of all the various hard sciences which examine that world and the disciplines which created the scientists within their respective fields. And he does it all in like 500 pages. But again,
That seems like a really good comparison point to me.
Yeah.
And then just add a personal spiritual meditation about growing up in Texas and deciding that you may or may not believe in God.
Okay, then. Hey, I know that Cheryl said that among the list of things you were talking about today or were prepared to speak about, she just wrote Stumptown, and I'm assuming that's the whole thing about whether Stumptown Coffee, that's the sale of or non-sale of Stumptown Coffee or whatever it is. What is the situation?
I feel the need to plug Willamette Week as the paper of record on this story. That we broke the original news of the sale of Stumptown to a San Francisco and New York based investment firm, which at this point our sources tell us owns 90% of the company.
So we have another article
this week about what that means for Stumptown's employees and its coffee.
So it has been sold. It's just not because it was one of those things that they said and then it was rumored and then I think Stumptown actually denied it initially, but maybe that's because it had not. Because it was
Stumptown denied it and continues to maintain radio silence on the issue. We have enough sources that we feel comfortable saying it has been sold.
And so, are there any guesses as to?
So I'm speaking for Willamette Week there. I don't know if I'm speaking for me exactly. I didn't personally speak to these sources.
But Willamette is reporting that is the. Is there any indication as to what's in the offing as far as the absorption or expansion of the company?
No real statements. I suspect dinosaurs.
Of course. All right. On that note.
Damn those dinosaurs. They're bastards.
Responsible for everything bad. You can read them in print when Willamette Week or online at wweek.com. And presumably you can see him sporting a stylish brand of attire on every Wiener Wednesday throughout the rest of his life. Mr. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week. We will speak with you in the immediate future, sir. Have a fantastic week.
Have a wonderful Wiener Wednesday.
Thank you. I always do. There you go. That's Aaron Mesh. All right. There you go. All right.
It's Wiener Wednesday.
Yes, it is, Don.
This guy has been tweeting these all morning now. Every hour, we got another one for you on the webpage. Sully, you were telling me yesterday at the Hooterpalooza, you had a great time.
Hooterpalooza. Is he adding it? No.
Yeah, he's adding an extra.
Is he buying a vowel there for no real reason at the end? All right.
Very good time.
And the band was spectacular. Long Gone Bon, you idiot.
Whatever it is.
Really, we've had them on the show. They've been our official band for like AC/DC stuff. They jam with Big Man on Campus all the time. As a matter of fact.
Wait a minute. So they're called. I still can't get a handle on this.
Very good time.
And the band was spectacular.
Long Bon John.
It's not Long Bone John. Well, none of these make any sense. I'm acting as though there's some sort of like...
Long Gone Bon, you idiot.
Long John Bon.
We've had them on the show. They've been our official
I'm gonna quit caring now.
Like AC/DC stuff.
Here's the thing. You and I could just sit here and try to figure out exactly what the name of the band is. It doesn't matter. Because all you know, Don, is what's going to happen in like 30 seconds here. So this is just...
They jam with Big Man on Campus all the time. As a matter of fact, I love these guys so much. Why don't we play one of their songs they did for us, okay?
Let's do it.
When they did PMS, crank this one up. Hi. I love this one.
Hi! Hi!
Don, you don't appear to be cranking it up. Look, there's an abject lack of cranking happening on your side of the studio, and I won't have it!
All right. I'm going to get myself into...
I don't think you heard his admonition that you, in fact, crank it up.
Apparently, they are called Long Gone Bon.
Okay. See,
G-O-N.
That at least makes sense because the guy's dead, and so therefore it's a reference to Bon Scott choking on vomit.
It's G-O-N without an E.
Well...
So it's Long Gone Bon.
It was an artistic decision made on the spur of the moment, I'm sure. That's they're taking creative license or licence with the all right.
So let's crank it.
Are you going to maximize
I'm maximizing my crankage.
The
because it's Wiener Wednesday.
Okay. I totally want to have a station just so we can say we're maximizing our crankage. because you got to maximize your crankage, Don, or otherwise. Your crankage is just being given yankage.
Rock on, Emerson. Let's rock on.
Hide, okay. Hide, don't do that.
Okay. Hide. Siesta out of the kitchen with a blood-curdling scream. She's not the girl that I first met.
Wow.
This one's pretty mean. My woman chewed my head off me just the other night. She's got the mood. She's gonna brood. What gives her the right?
By the way, I didn't expect him to use the word brood. So there are minor points given.
She's gonna
that.
Brood.
Well, it's PMS. She's all uptight. PMS. And she's picked a fight. PMS. She's on overload. PMS. Watch her explode.
Okay, well, that doesn't even count. They're not even changing the last two lines.
No.
Not a real parody.
Her brand new jeans are popping their seams. They're as tight as a clam.
What?
She's public resident.
They're tight as a clam? That's not a phrase. That's not a thing people say. You can't just make up phrases because you want to rhyme something with am.
I don't even think that's a unit of tightness measurement.
No.
I don't think that's an accepted. No, there's no. It's not like that's in the peachy folder under hectare.
Tight as a clam?
How many pounds pressure per square inch? What is the clamshire of these pants? Oh, wow. Okay. If your pants were a mollusk, exactly with what force would they be holding themselves in a cinched position?
How tight are those pants? Clam tight.
They're tight as a clam.
Hoover Dam.
See, he wanted to rhyme something with Hoover Dam.
I don't understand what is the Hoover Dam?
I don't know. We talked over the.
Oh,
no,
God,
we gotta
hold
get
on,
this
I
reference. Okay.
She's public reservoir number one.
Wow.
Oh.
Hoover Dam.
Oh.
So bring home some chocolate.
She's public reservoir number one.
I kind of actually like that. It also doesn't work. But it's evocative. Public reservoir number one.
Might save your life. Tell her you love her and hide all the knives. Her friend is back in town. Don't you mess around with PMS.
Wow. It's like they just get to the end of the stanza and they just say good enough. And they don't change anything beyond that point.
PMS, she's on overload.
This is...
If we can just... Honey,
where are you? Who ate all the Duff bars? I really don't enjoy picking up your smelly socks.
See, women be nagging.
Yeah.
I wanna be home. Leave me alone! Where are you going? Come back here, you coward!
Okay, I can't listen to any more of that. I have to skip ahead to the
That is some good stuff. Did they play that one last night? Yes, they did. Oh, there you go. You guys are the best.
Oh,
that's
wonderful.
The best music I've ever heard.
Another email here.
Yeah.
There is nothing good about that Sully picture.
No.
It's like the Ave Maria of Southern California rock.
I dropped the official bio picture of the crew. Of Lamont and Tonelli and Sully
really?
In the Dropbox, so you can see their wackiness.
You know, the best thing is that Walter in Rotterdam actually carved out time from his busy life and used literally globe-spanning technology to tune in live today so you can do this. Yeah. I think I'll just let this play because I think this ends with the jingle, which is kind of what I wanted to get through here.
Oh, man.
He's exhausted from the comedic stylings of Long Gone Bon.
Pictures of Sully in the Borat thong. It's Wiener Wednesday, just like Anthony Wiener.
I'm just saying standalone phrases, not using complete sentences ever.
Facebook and tweet that.
You can face back with him if you'd like.
Go to our webpage, do a right click on it, save that picture, and have some fun with it today. Sully.
Yes, have some fun with that today.
There was I found a site where there were tickets you could purchase for a show in April that Long Gone Bon played. The headliner was Evolution, the ultimate tribute to Journey. Second billed, Long Gone Bon, the ultimate tribute to AC/DC. Followed by This Kids, a tribute to UFO. And Green 182, who play all the hits from Green Day and Blink 182.
Okay.
They're all playing together. You could have seen that for just $13.
That's good stuff, Don.
It's Wiener Wednesday.
Back after this. 107.7 The Bone.
She had town of rose and blue.
listening to the Emerson News Network.
By the way, apparently, when you spend time later on this evening, as I know you plan to, perusing the website for 1077 The Bone. I'm sorry, perusing the website for 1077 The Bone. You'll get to see articles including 20 Greatest Movie Farts. I swear to God it says this. I hate to work blue, to be crude, especially when I know that there are people of all ages and backgrounds and, you know, and work environments listening. This isn't actually profane. It's just horrible. Apparently, there's a photo gallery on the... I mean, if you were to be so inclined, if you were to be just sort of... You know, sort of rifling through the website for you'll see a photo gallery called Jennifer Aniston's Stinkhole.
A whole photo gallery of that.
Yeah, that's it. So,
how did they get pictures of Jennifer Aniston's?
I don't know. I imagine some sort of a thin, flexible camera.
I mean, I'm assuming that's probably a misnomer. That really, they're just showing pictures of her derriere.
Maybe. I don't know. It's really hard to predict anything from this. Can I just say, by the way, I tried so hard. I listened for so long. And well, here's what kept me listening, was I kept trying to hear one of those, like, we're going to bone your head, or, you know, or whatever, you know, it's like, put the bone in your mouth, or whatever, like, all their plays on the word, yes. On the word bone. Didn't hear any of those. Mm. I didn't hear any of that. They were not threatening to bone my ears. They weren't like, give me the big bone. Mm.
They did say a T-shirt in their cafe press store or something that said "bad to the bone."
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, they did not give their traffic lady any sort of a zany nickname. I kept waiting for like a like Lucy in the Sky with Tibia or something, or just
Bony the traffic bone. That's not really a play on words at all, is it?
And I was trying not to say pony.
Bone pony.
Because then it. That's right, Bone Pony.
Bone Pony, the traffic bone here on Wiener Wednesday.
So a show that would call somebody a pony is just retarded.
No, nobody.
Okay, well, in any event, somebody just said, I think the very first comment we had from somebody about this was, this is why we pay 32 cents a day to listen to the Rick Emerson Radio. And then, ironically enough, you're paying 32 cents a day and you're still... You're just hearing that. Also helping to make that possible and to help to subsidize, one might say, to artificially depress the cost and to keep it at 32 cents per day for you and yours, folks such as Squires Electric. You can find out more about them by going to squireselectric.com or facebook.com/Squires Electric. You can also call them if you like. It's 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. They're licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. So if you are needing to upgrade something, repair something, install something, you are dealing with any sort of a electrical issue at your home, if it has to do with the putting of the cable in the wall or just figuring out why it's not working, or you plug in one thing too many, or you turn the air conditioner one notch too high and suddenly there's just a sound and nothing works anymore, and then everybody's standing out on the street wondering if it's like the monsters are due, on Maple Avenue episode of The Twilight Zone, and then you gotta like hide out in the shelter, and then there's only one guy with a shelter, and then everybody else is like standing around waving a shotgun, and then Jack Weston shows up, and it's a whole deal. And you could avoid all that just by calling Squires Electric at 503-252-1609. They've done everything from, come out and, I was trying to see. Now it's like my idiot humor circuit is just blown or something. It's broken. Yeah. I was doing a whole like fill a plug.
Your funny bone.
Thank you. To like put it like something about filling a socket or something, and then but it just doesn't come together. I feel like I've been bested in that arena, and so there's no point. But the rest of my brain is just shut down. Why would I even compete? Why would I even throw my hat into that funny ring? There's just no point. You can contact them at 503-252-1609 or squireselectric.com. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier. A proud sponsor of this, the Rick Emerson Radio Program, they are Squires Electric.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
All right. Yes, if your home electrical services are boned, you can call Squires Electric. There you go. 503-252-1609. Let's see. I've got just a little bit more here. I don't even know. I just chopped these up into separate files. I'm not even really sure what this might consist of. Let's see. So we'll get some more audio from our good friends at the Bone. All right. Let's see. This may be. Let's see. What is this here? Why did I decide that this was worth saving? Let's find out. This
East Bay and Tri-Valley residents, MCS Delivery is available now to service the medical marijuana community.
Oh, that's why.
Call them at 925.
By the way, first up in the stop set, so the most valued advertiser on the station.
594-0638. MCS Delivery service is free, prompt, and available 7 days a week. Explore their online pharmacy for men.
I'd say the music in the background really does underscore the medical issue, that is probably prompting you to call the medical marijuana delivery service.
New prices hour.
It's that hint of professionalism that all the businesses want ladled over their spot
specials
at the end.
And veteran discounts at mcsdelivery.com. MCS Delivery has weekly specials. Just ask.
Call 925-594-0638 MCS.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
Kill me.
You're listening to TheBone.com.
Hey, you know what? Father's Day is almost here. Hi, it's Stephen Seaweed, and my friend...
I can't even listen. I can't even listen to that.
This is Bone Rock.
All right, so there you go. I've got one more of those that we'll do maybe before the end of the show. I just have to stop for now. It's all becoming so painful.
It is Wiener Wednesday.
It really is. It's Wiener Wednesday all Wednesday long. By the way, I was checking the website just during the see, now I can't stay away during the break. This is like when I got that air check from Budman and Booger a couple of years ago, which is just like one of the most golden things I've ever received. That is really, I will say this is one of the only things I really missed about terrestrial radio, is just receiving air checks from idiotic hopefuls across the country. People were just looking for the next big platform for their particular brand of whimsy. But I went to the website, and sure enough, they do get the lead out every night at 7 o'clock, incidentally, just in case you were wondering about that. You're not going to have to worry about that.
I've missed that. No, you know, the getting of, out of the lead.
By the way, apparently the Bone blog for May 11th has a YouTube video of a dog humping a homeless man curled up in his side in the grass by a chain link fence and a garbage can. Just in case you're wondering how else they were using this technology, what other messages they felt that people absolutely had to see. And keep in mind, by the way, it's not like we're brainiacs or something.
No.
We were just talking about Stand By Me trivia, and I spend a lot of time just ruminating on boobs, and Dawn made out with her uncle. So it's not like we're saints or something.
No.
But
no, I told that story about leaving my vibrator behind when I moved. We're not above being, you know.
But here's the thing, but also we're not... Like they work for like $1 billion corporation is the thing, and also
Father's Day's coming up. Huh?
Yeah, apparently Father's Day's coming up, Don. They're going to segue into something relatable here.
Father's Day's coming up, huh?
Yeah.
I wonder how.
Also, here's the other thing: is I am acutely aware of my own idiocy. I mean, really, to a painful degree, and I don't know that that's a universal condition.
Arnold's going to celebrate Father's Day.
Oh God, this is why I recorded this. So this is like the best of all worlds. It's a fake commercial. It's a fake commercial done by a morning show, and it's a fake commercial done by a morning show featuring a terrible, terrible celebrity impression.
Is it going to be an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression?
Yes, it is, Don, because they're in California, and because, you know, there was that whole thing where he impregnated somebody who was not his wife.
Yeah,
let's see if they can just... here's a little...
So Father's Day, it's a natural...
That's right, Don.
Natural comedy...
Father's Day's coming up. No, that's... Really, that's fertile ground. That is really where you want to... That is where you're going to sow some of the... That is where you're going to sow some of the finest comedic seeds so that you can reap gales of laughter later on. Let's just hear a little comedy from...
107.7 The Bone.
You know, Father's Day's coming up, huh?
Yeah.
I wonder how Arnold's going to celebrate Father's Day.
I wonder what is the most ham-handed way that I can introduce this pre-recorded bit of comedy.
Tell you this. The guy's going to make some money this Father's Day.
Well, how's he going to make money?
How's that?
Brand new endorsement.
These fathers.
Is it possible for this bit to be even less subtle than it already was?
Brand new endorsement.
These Father's Day. Say, I know you've been cheating with a no good Father's Day card.
I love you, Dad. And I love my mother. But I just found out the housekeeper's son is my brother? I hate you! Happy Father's Day!
And if your father has crushed your friends, driven them from your house, and laughed at the lamentation of your mother, this is the card for him.
I love you, Dad, but it's time for you to go. Ever since I heard them say, you the father, on the Maury Povich show? Have a f***ed up Father's Day.
God.
Once again, 107.7, The Bone. Ladies and gentlemen,
I can't believe you cheated on Mom with that cow. Damn!
Oh, this one!
You were there through thick and thin, but we found out you slept with Mom's best friend! Yeah! Have a Father's Day!
Once again, 107.7, The Bone.
I don't want it to ever be Wiener Wednesday again.
No.
What should I say, Mother's friend?
Yes, my no-good Father's Day cards. Just because they've been acting like a certain wiener doesn't mean you have to treat them like one.
So he's got his own line of Father's Day cards now.
Make a couple of bucks on that.
So it's Schwarzenegger, and he's got cards because he's a bad father. Schwarzenegger.
Let me explain the thing we just did 5 seconds ago.
He did something with his woodly doodly.
It's wonderful. This goes on for another 44 seconds, so we might as well just...
Mona in traffic, Mona, what's going on?
Mona in traffic, there we go. Okay, so that's...
We have Mona in traffic, Mona, what's going on?
Bona with traffic.
Bona Mona, yeah. Or something like that.
We have Mona in traffic, Mona, what's going on?
All right, Santa Clara problem. This report brought to you by Best Buy.
You know, she hates her life. You know, she goes home every day and just looks in the paper. It looks on Craigslist, looks everywhere. She for any kind of job, anywhere, anything that will keep her in her home.
Eastbound 237 before Great America Parkway, a multi-car crash, left lane block.
She doesn't tell anybody where she works.
Yeah. You know, she just hears their voices in her sleep, wakes up in the morning and her eyes are all red-rimmed and filled with tears.
Caused by that bike that was in the roadway. So now there's a debris across the lane, so expect delays. Menlo Park on the Bayfront Expressway, westbound, right before Willow, there's an accident blocking the right lane. Also, San Jose, northbound 101 past McKee, a crash being cleared into the center divide, and slow as you head to the Bay Bridge, backed up now to the foot of the maze. Wherever
I do have to say, by the way, I admire the fact that she doesn't make any effort to bend to their format or to sound like she belongs on the station in any way. Because, you know, she's whether she's in a copter or just sitting in some cubicle, you know, she does this all day, you know, all morning for radio stations. I like that she's not altered her inflection at all. She's just going to do the same thing she always does, and she doesn't care one whit about fitting in with the, you know, the Boneyard crew or whatever.
You're going this summer, make getting there as fun as being there with the Barnes & Noble Nook Color or Nintendo 3DS. Mm-hmm. Get technology set up just right to make summer better at Best Buy. That's your Bonehead Workforce Traffic, 107.7 The Bone.
Lamont and Tonelli on 107.7 The Bone.
Okay. So there we go. So there's that.
Yeah.
Somebody says, she sounds very much like she is the Cheryl of 107.7 The Bone. Yeah, just sort of a tired resignation that this is her fate, that she's working off some sort of a penance or because she's in a spirit prison. For the love of God. All right. How you doing, Don?
I'm fine. I just, this makes me sad. I guess
Sorry?
It's all just so sad.
Okay. I'll just take a moment to.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I only got seriously. That's like less than 15 minutes of a 4-hour show. I'm going to tape the entire thing tomorrow. I mean, I'm going to set my computer tonight to record all of it, every minute of it.
You know, San Francisco is a fairly sophisticated town.
Yes, it is also. It is. I think radio market like number 7 or 6 or something.
And this is.
Tripe.
Yeah. And it says terrible. on their webpage, the Bay Area's rock station, which it's just sad.
Yeah.
That's just bad. God.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
107.7 The Bone.
And now, from the news desk, this is Dawn Taylor.
Let's do our taser watch.
Actually, for the hallmark of sophistication, so that we can immediately set ourselves apart from chuckling
right.
Nitwits everywhere who play wacky sound effects and kooky parody songs.
Damn
wait,
right.
Hold on a second. Let's just.
You got me running, going out of my mind.
No. I didn't do it wrong.
You got me thinking that I'm wasting my time.
Don't take me.
By the way, though, I got to say, seriously, I will put this up against. I can't even take credit for this. This is Dan Bozek. I swear to you, no fool. I'll put this up against anything, though. The taser watch theme. Really, most of our watch themes. There you go. Excellent.
By the way, there's an iPhone app for this radio station.
Really?
So now you can have the bone in your pocket 24 hours a day.
But they don't even say bone phone?
No, they say you can have
the bone in your pocket.
In your pocket.
Like a penis.
24 hours a day.
That's tumescent. Okay.
Yeah.
It's as though your penis was erect.
And shaped like a phone.
And you were unable to stop it, and it was that way all the time.
You know, like Wiener.
You could no longer attain a flaccid state. Your penis was stuck at full mast.
Like Anthony Wiener.
The Bone.
An investigation into loud music ended with a Piqua, Ohio man getting tased by police on Tuesday. Officers responded to the rear apartment at a building about 1:30 p.m. after a neighbor complained about loud music coming from the address. Investigators approached the suspect, Patrick Miller, 45, and asked him to turn down the music. Miller, officers say, turned it up instead. An officer exchanged words with Miller, but waited for backup to arrive before approaching him again.
So his solution was, in fact, to maximize his crankage.
Exactly.
All right. Excellent.
Yeah!
He turned it up and he ripped off the knob.
Yeah.
With his woodly doodly.
Yeah.
Ultimately, officers say Miller took a swing at them, and that's when he was tased. Miller became unresponsive and CPR was necessary.
Fantastic.
He was stabilized and moved to Upper Valley Medical Center. Officers say there was evidence of alcohol use, but the investigation continues.
Is he old? Does it give his age?
He's like 45.
Okay, so it's because again, it's the whole thing of like if it doesn't work on some people even after repeated tasing. But this guy, they tase him once, and immediately he's just unconscious. Not only not moving and immobile, he's actually not conscious.
Well, then again, he did just take a swing at the officer, and I'm thinking that it's possible maybe he was tased, but maybe he was tased like for a really long time.
Yeah.
Even after he was down on the ground.
Like maybe they affixed the electrodes and then just went out for lunch for a while.
Yeah.
Just came back and it was just sort of a zzzz. All right, fantastic. Excellent. There's your taser watch for Wednesday right here in the Rick Emerson Review. You got me running, going out of my mind.
Turn it up.
You got me
thinking that I'm wasting my time.
Don't taste me, bro.
Say this just a side note here about our friends at the Bone. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about this station. It's not like everything I do or we do or that anybody does anywhere is like stunningly creative and groundbreaking. There's very few things under the sun that are new. There's not a lot of ways to do stuff. Yeah. You know, it hasn't already been done like 1,000 other times. But it's not just that there's the occasional thing that you've heard done 1,000 times by morning shows, or the occasional playlist that sounds a little bit familiar to you, like maybe you've heard those songs a time or two, on other classic rock stations. Or it's not just like the Nikki Black and Steven Seahorse and whatever the guy and Farting Dude and Belching Lad and Chick with the Boobs in the morning and then the guys laughing in the background it's almost like one of those like laugh tracks that they used on MASH where it's like the people are dead, but it's like they just keep looping it over and over again. It's just like all of those elements just isolated and distilled and put together into some Voltron of suck. It's just like it's like a car just made out of the most used parts of all the other cars. I mean, and the other thing about stations like this is, it's like I'm not one of the, and I am also not one of those guys that just has a music collection that stopped in like 1991 or whatever. But there's a fair amount of classic rock in my collection. I got I got my share of Aerosmith or AC/DC or Led Zeppelin. But that's what's wrong with stations like this, is that stations like this really make me feel like a tool for listening to that. Anytime I find myself driving around in the car, I find myself putting on Molly Hatchet or something, then these stations just make me feel like a knob for doing so. That's the thing. It's like a guilt by association to music that I would otherwise enjoy.
I kind of feel a little bit sorry, actually, for Steven Seaweed.
He's like Methuselah, first of all.
Looking at his bio here, and
Does it start with hoped for a better life somewhere?
Well, his early musical training came at the legendary Fillmore and Winterland in San Francisco, where his mother used to drag him around in a backpack while grooving to the likes of Cream, Creedence, and the Jimi Hendrix Experience. Mom regularly showed up with the infant Weed Man at B-ins in Golden Gate Park and Grateful Dead acid tests. He was one of the youngest radio announcers of all time. He got his first break at a small freeform station in Carmel by the Seaweed. when nobody wanted to work the midnight shift on New Year's Eve, 1972.
Okay, see, now I feel sorry for him, too, and now I feel bad for making fun of him.
Now I feel sorry for him. One boy held up his hand when the program director asked for volunteers, then he showed up at midnight with his FCC license in hand and promptly tracked all six sides of George Harrison's concert for Bangladesh.
Okay, see, that's kind of awesome. But now it's like I just want to go pluck him out of there and give him a better job somewhere.
I know. He's been there, like, forever, apparently, and he's been program director there for a while, and he's worked, oh, he actually worked there when it went country.
Oh, God. So he's the PD at the Bone?
I guess I don't know if he still is, but he was at one time. He said he went straight from weekends to program director, and then noted in those days program director meant handing out the records and posting the weekend shifts.
Okay, so that was undoubtedly back when it was, and this is one of those things that if I were to put up like the Craig Adams, sign in the sky or whatever, I would be able to get like a complete listing of every format that the Bone has ever been. Bruce Aguilar will probably send that to me.
Well, it's not just the Bone.
Point.
He hasn't always been at the station. He was at KSAN in San Francisco, which was the progressive rock station. Then they went country and he stayed when they were country. And then he was, so that was, when they went country, they became KFAT. The wide spot on the dial, because, it was KFAT,
right,
where he delighted in playing such classics as Moose Turd Pie. So, you did your time at a country station,
And that's the thing, and you just...
and then KFAT Radio went top 40, and so did the Weed Man.
Yeah. Well, because he's a Swiss Army knife of radio. I mean, he really is, he's able to adapt, improvise, and overcome. From Bruce Aguilar, a couple things. First of all, we should note that the mobile stream is now working, and that was actually, it's easy to blame it on Thomas, but it's actually my fault. So yesterday, Thomas and I were doing some...
What did you do?
I unplugged everything. We were transferring a bunch of the stuff from server to a different server, from server one to a different server altogether last night, and I went through at the end and it's that thing of going through every web page associated with, the archives page and the splash page and making sure it all worked. The one page that I forgot to check before leaving here and going to Geek Trivia, because you were, he was here from whenever, with Greg and Sarah, and then he and I were here until like 6:40, and then I dropped him at Geek Trivia and went home. So he was here helping us transfer a bunch of stuff and move a bunch of things. The one thing that I forgot to check that never even occurred to me, and it didn't occur to him, but it's not his. It's my job to check these things, not his. So it's my fault. I forgot to check the mobile page. I accidentally pulled the plug on the mobile page last night, but it has been fixed. So by Thomas, I believe, from Bruce Aguilar, 107.7. Well, he notes that this is early on. He notes that it's a San Francisco station, and let's see. He says, by the way, the Bone in the recent analysis of the the radio stations have moved from using paper diaries to using the people meter. In the most recent people meter results, they are one of the stations noted as significantly trending up persons 18 to 49. So they go, the Bone is on the rise, Don. It's they're on the move. They're on their way to bigger and better things. Here's the thing about the Weed Man is that we all know that guy. Everybody, and it's not just in radio. Like in any industry, like if you go to, I will guarantee you this: if you go to a newspaper right now, if you go to a metro, the metro desk or like the newsroom or whatever it is, like your local paper, I will guarantee you, you're going to find 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys just like this working at the newspaper, who were there back in like 71, and they or some guy who got the gig as like, the guy who it cleaned ink stains off the carpet, and he took the gig after Watergate because he wanted to make a difference in the world of print, and he is still there now, chain smoking outside and working on wife number 4.
And another reason to love the Weed Man, he says he's got 8,000. He still has 8,000 vinyl albums in his garage, and every weekday at 10:30 a.m. He cracks one out and he plays it on an actual turntable.
The other thing he apparently also does. See, now we've come around. Now we're the Weed Man's like biggest fans.
I love the Weed Man.
We're the Weed Man who can be heard on
107.7 The Bone.
And that's the saddest. That's the unkindest cut of all, right?
Yeah, I still hate Lamont and Tenelli. Don't get me wrong, but I love the Weed Man.
Here's the one saving grace about the Weed Man, because you say he sounds like a guy who got into radio. I mean, I don't mean to sound impossibly Pollyanna about this, but I mean he sounds like a guy who got into radio for the right reasons,
yeah.
Started as a lot of us did by just being, I've told the story a jillion times about, I was the 14-year-old kid who was, I guess I'll just hang around and do whatever you need done, sweep the studio, okay, and just hoping that they would eventually let me segue records at some point. And who knows, maybe Captain Lamont or whatever they are in the morning, maybe they did the same thing. But you just look at that guy, and he's now working at that station, and you just feel so indescribably sad for him, except for... if he is anything like the DJs I know at other prominent classic rock stations in this city and others, the good thing about him working there is he probably doesn't even hear the music or anything anymore. He is dimly aware a couple times an hour that he's opening the mic and talking for 10 or 12 seconds, and then he's like Lester Freeman on The Wire. He's just back to whittling dollhouses or, you know, looking through a real estate magazine or something for his side gig. He probably could be like in a medically induced coma and continue to function properly at that gig. Nobody would know. Nobody would know that. Because can you imagine that it requires a lot of personality to do his gig in the afternoon? Probably not.
Oh, by the way, Hollywood Lamont of Lamont and Tonelli. I guess he's the big guy, the non-boy. Yeah. His real name is Todd Freifogel.
Of course it is. Okay. Here's Don Taylor at the news desk.
And now, from the news desk, this is Don Taylor.
A pair of bald eagles nesting near the U.S. Post Office in Dutch Harbor, Alaska, have taken to dive-bombing customers, in one case drawing blood. The eagles are raising newly hatched chicks for the second consecutive year in a nest on a bluff by the post office, and for the second consecutive year, they have been trying to chase people off, apparently unaware that the U.S. Postal Service uses a stylized eagle as its logo.
No.
Two people were attacked last week, and one of the eagles swooped down on a patron on Monday. Alaska State Wildlife Troopers said that one of the eagles managed to scratch up its victim and said that it actually drew blood. Authorities have posted signs and advised people to be careful about their surroundings, but there are no plans to move the nests or fight back against the eagles. Bald eagles have a history of confronting people at the post office and elsewhere on the island. Recently, an eagle swooped very close to the fish and wildlife guy before returning to its nest. He said it had a fish in its talons. As a national bird of the United States, they are protected under special federal laws. Bruce Woods, a spokesman for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, said, "It's extremely difficult unless there's a clear danger to human life to move a nest while it's still occupied."
You don't want to screw with eagles. I mean, they'll kill you dead. They really will. Eagles don't play.
Yeah. All right. And they're very protective of their young, so
rah! Yeah.
Yeah.
Don Taylor, animal impresario.
It's like a bald eagle was here in the studio, wasn't it?
Okay.
The El Reno, Oklahoma Police Department has canceled a silver alert for a 62-year-old. That's what we have now when old people go missing.
Wander away.
By the way. Yeah. For a 62-year-old man who disappeared Wednesday morning, Raymond Ligas was located just after noon today. He left the Domino gas station around 8:30 a.m. after arguing with his wife. Police feared he might be suicidal. When police first issued the silver alert, they described Ligas as a diabetic with multiple personality disorder. His family also said he had an extreme fear of men and was wearing a pair of fake breasts. El Reno police say Ligas is okay and is back with his family.
Okay, but you can't just say that and then not explain why. When you say a pair of fake breasts, are we talking about, is it like the zany sort of Halloween costume kind? Or is it like the kind you make party ice cubes in? Or is it are they like falsy, or, you know, like what are those curves or those insert things, the little chicken cutlet looking things?
I don't know.
It's not Ed Gein style fake breasts, I would imagine, but I mean, there's no clarification.
That's what I imagine in my mind.
I totally did that, and then him talking in his mother's voice to himself. "We're going to get away from the bad man." "Yes, we are, mother. Let's walk this way."
Yeah.
All right, but there's no actual. There's no specifications.
No, sadly,
given
that's
the,
all of the specifics that they give.
Okay.
In the,
why? But see, that's the thing. Don't you figure that that's the thing where a guy in the newsroom has the full story, but just decides to screw with everybody else by just saying, "And he was wearing fake breasts." Moving on, and then you knowing that everybody in the entire world is going to want to know, and that he alone holds the key to that knowledge.
Yeah.
All right.
And I've looked up like several versions of the story to try and find out more information. Trust me. But no. Wait a minute. There might be. They did describe he was, when he went missing, by the way, they described him wearing a blue psychedelic style shirt. So.
Is that like tie dye? He's wearing
guess.
A seaweed style shirt?
Yeah, I guess he was wearing like a tie dyed shirt and then also had fake breasts.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, like you do. Somebody is demanding that we have the lulz cannons turned on 107.7, the bone.
Okay,
but then there might be collateral damage in the form of Steven Seaweed, for whom we've become inexplicably fond over the last few minutes. So
I have a soft spot in my heart now for Steven Seaweed.
The negative externality of his death is an unacceptable byproduct to us right now. Here is Don Taylor. By the way, speaking of which, because I really wasn't speaking of this. Not speaking of this at all, today is the birthday of a good friend, Mr. Seamus Okay. And he was born on June 15th, 1977. So as we sometimes do, I have prepared the top five today. These are the top five songs from the nine months immediately preceding his birth. So these are the nine songs to which his parents were probably or could have been having sexual congress while he was conceived.
Okay.
You just picture Mr. and Mrs. Seamus just kind of getting their hump on. And this might have been the soundtrack to that. So I have assembled those top five songs so that all might squirm in uncomfortability.
The items that Russian customs agents reported seizing on Tuesday were exotic even by the standards of Russia's border with China, where wildlife smuggling is rampant. It included 1,041 bear paws, lynx fur, unspecified claw parts, 26 elk lips, and five tusks from an extinct woolly mammoth.
Let's take this from the top. They found these where?
Somebody was smuggling them at the China-Russia border.
Well, you gotta smuggle them because it looks suspicious if you bring all that through in just like a
right.
sack or something.
Yeah. And you need special carry-all for your elk lips.
Yeah. So before we get to elk lips, I'm intrigued by the idea that there are, what was the claw parts? Random?
Unspecified claw parts.
How much specification do you need? It's a claw. I mean, is it just a claw made of components of which I was not previously aware? When they say claw, do they mean paw? Because a claw is just the nail,
claw.
I would think.
Yeah, that would just be the nail.
It seems like that's a, you know, that's a unibody construction item. All right. And elk lips.
And elk lips.
So it was 26 elk lips, which means 13 pair, presumably?
Sure.
Okay.
Officials said they discovered the cargo after a dog alerted them to the contents in the bed of a Chinese driver's seemingly empty truck.
There's some lunch back there.
On closer. Elk lips. Elk lips. On closer examination, officials found a secret compartment with a cache of contraband. The statement said, the illegal cargo weighing almost 1.4 tons was detained by border guards and customs officials. The items were individually wrapped, though it did not say if the compartment was refrigerated. The elk lips alone weighed 143 pounds.
Wow.
Smuggling is generally blossoming in Russia's Far East. The long border with China, closed for decades, is now open for travel and trade.
Is this where they were going to be used to make Chinese boner pills? I mean, I assume
possibly.
That's the end result of all. Anything from an animal you're not eating is used to give guys, to give them a woodly diddly.
Woodly diddly.
Yes, that.
WWF, the conservation group, says China is a vacuum cleaner for Siberian wildlife.
Wow. That is really like an evocative and distinct image.
Yes.
The idea of just, because then I'm just... In other words, that they don't that they traffic in, or at least, or that they do not necessarily abide by conservation laws as regards endangered animals or just living things in general.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're just sort of scrubbing the place clean of all life over there.
Well, among the stuff they found here were 1,041 bear paws. The largest cache of bear paws that WWF had found previously was 787 paws, which would be one paw shy of a full set of four from 197 bears.
Jesus.
And this was like, you know, even more than that. As Russian border guards using dogs have become more adept at catching small time traffickers, smugglers have been compelled to risk large shipments. The large number reported Tuesday from about 260 bears was most likely accumulated by brokers who bought them from hunters over the winter. A set of four brings the hunters about $50.
Yeah.
Bear paws are a ritual dish for Chinese. Elk lips are a delicacy. Also smuggled daily for food or medicine are bear gallbladders, frogs, deer antlers, and the genitals of spotted deer. The bones of highly endangered Amur tigers are sought for their aphrodisiac qualities. And then there were also the mammoth tusks, which are more abundant than a lot of people in the West realize. Encased in an upper layer of Siberia's permafrost are the remains of an estimated 150 million mammoths that lived from 3,600 to 400,000 years ago.
I totally want one.
The parts surface in the spring thaw across vast stretches of Russia's far north and are routinely collected. Most are exported legally to China, South Korea, and Japan to be carved into personal stamps used in place of signatures on documents.
Oh, my God. So this is – I could totally buy a mammoth tusk.
Yes, you could.
And the thing is – and it's not – and I wouldn't have to feel bad about it because they're already dead.
Yeah.
Because – okay, now here's the thing. Now, look, I'm an idiot. So I mean, and I'm aware of that fact. I mean, I do have self-realization about these things. Okay. Here's the thing. Like, if you had asked me 10 seconds ago if giant sort of mammoths were a thing that actually existed, or if they were like a fake, like, creature that, like, was just like in science fiction or fantasy, mm-hmm. I think I would have I would have had to guess. I think I would have had no better than 50-50, certainty about that. Doesn't it seem like
they are one of those animals that they've reconstructed their skeletons and have them at museums?
Yeah, isn't there something like that that turned out to not be true? Is the woolly mammoth? It's like the big elephant covered in brown hair.
Yeah.
See, I thought that didn't really exist. I thought that was the thing they theorized, and then it turned out that it wasn't really real. That it was a thing that they thought, well, we think this might have existed, and then later they went, no, it's just an elephant.
I know there was something like that with, I think it was the Brachiosaurus.
It's the Brontosaurus that does not exist.
Okay, because there was one like, and then I think it might have been the Brachiosaurus as well, that they always summarized that it had lived in water because of its large body size.
Right.
And that it couldn't, and because they always found its bones in bodies of water, and then about 10 years ago, they started figuring out that actually the bones had been washing downhill from somewhere
else.
Landing
at the bottom of the hill where the water gathered.
So that all of their theories were completely wrong.
I think it was that the Brontosaurus doesn't exist because what they had originally found was a Brachiosaurus skeleton that was had been mixed up with some other things. It was like, you know, just in a big jumble of, in a big jumble of bones. And they went, oh, it's this thing called a Brontosaurus. And it was like a head from an Allosaur or something. And then that had been mixed up with the Brachiosaurus. And the Brontosaurus was this sort of it was this sort of portmanteau, of zoologically speaking, that I guess they took off the chart, which sucks because, the Brontosaurus was a thing that I grew up with. And I think a lot of kids grew up with, as just one of the dinosaurs that you immediately glommed onto. Because if for no other reason, it was the thing that Fred Flintstone always slid down at the beginning of the Flintstones episode. So,
yeah,
you get that.
Because he was getting off of work.
Yes, I know. I know. But ignorant radio host, blah, blah, blah. I'm asking. Look, if I don't ask questions, then I'll just dwell in a dark cave of ignorance forevermore. Now, be honest, though. Does this sound at all familiar, what I'm saying? That it was like some sort of woolly mastodon mammoth? Okay, and a mastodon and a mammoth. Maybe that's the thing. Same thing, two different things. What is a mastodon? Wait, what were you just talking about? A mammoth or a mastodon?
A mammoth, a woolly mammoth.
What's a mastodon? And does it exist?
I think a mastodon is similar to a mammoth, but I think it might be different. I don't know.
Is it real?
I don't know a lot about dinosaurs.
Okay.
I really don't.
Well, that's not a dinosaur, though. That's just a thing. That's a... I wonder if the mastodon actually existed, or if that is one of those theoretical animals that it turned out to not really have existed. All right. I think that is where, whether or not that actually existed, I think that's where I got off the path. That's the fork in the mental road for me, because those two things are grouped very closely together in my head, because I think one is like supposed to be just a giant version of the other, maybe. Mm. Or maybe it's that the mastodon is a giant elephant, but doesn't have any fur or hair or whatever.
Well, the mastodons were large tusked mammal species. And I don't know how they are. It says they had a size and appearance similar to elephants and mammoths, but were not particularly closely related.
Okay. But in any event, so this means that because the things are extinct, they're already dead, that it's not like they're having to kill something to get them. So I could feel okay about getting ivory tusk from a mammoth.
Yeah, and apparently they've got a whole lot of them.
I wonder how big that is, and I wonder how much I would expect to pay for that. I mean, leaving aside issues of shipping and handling, I wonder how much, like, if I just, you know...
The shipping will kill you because it's coming from China.
Well, I have no idea, like, how the... I assume the dollar sucks compared to everything now, but, I mean, I haven't really checked lately. It's not like I've really looked into, you know... What do they use in China? Is it the yen or something? And so I have no idea whether it's, you know, whether that's a thing that I could buy, you know, for less than I might expect. Okay, mastodon apparently is an early mammoth. So mastodon became mammoth, and then at some point, elephant, blah, 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 blah.
Let's see. Mammoth tusk, manufacturers, suppliers, and exporters. You can find them right online. And here's a place called universaltreasures.com. $300.
Really?
Yeah. You get a...
Is it for the full thing, or is it for like a carved piece of it?
Well, they're kind of broken, so they're pieces. It says price range varies by size.
Okay, well, that's, I guess, so if you're some guy who has a lot of money and you buy a complete one, that's going to be more, but otherwise you could just, you know, like, it'd send you a chunk of it or something.
You could also get woolly mammoth ribs or teeth or vertebrae.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a thing that I wouldn't mind having just hanging around the office at home.
A woolly mammoth hip joint, so it'd be like my hip joint, only it's a huge one, and it could put it up, like, and display it.
How much does it say how much that is?
$150 to $300 for the set.
Does it say the average size, like, all things being equal, that your woolly mammoth hip joint would be?
Well, the minimum would be 12 by 8 by 5. The maximum would be 20 by 13 by 10. And there's your...
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I think that would be like the next step in the evolution of my interior, the decor of my office at home. I think that really is.
You got your woolly mammoth leg bones. There's a humerus right there.
You got to send me the link for that.
Okay.
All right. Because, you know, here's the thing. Christmas is coming out. Lara's always bitching that I don't know what I want. And that she's, what do you want for Christmas or your birthday? And I go, nah, nothing. Because, like, not that I, you know, it's not like I'm some, you know, I don't live some Spartan existence or whatever, but I don't buy a lot of stuff. You know, and if there's something I want, it's typically something, you know, that I need or something that is functional and I've already purchased it. I can never really think of anything. Well, she's always just asking me to come up with something frivolous as a gift, you know, something that is purely for enjoyment purposes. It is a pure gift that I don't actually need or wouldn't have bought eventually. This totally fits the bill. Awesome. Fantastic. Okay. Plus, here's the thing. Then it implies, without actually saying or proving in any way, that I have an interest in traveling and other countries and cultures apart from my own.
That's right.
There you go. It's almost, so it nods in the direction of wanting to travel without actually obligating me to do so.
It's science-y as well.
That's exactly what it is. Apparently, the currency in China is it's either the yuan or the renminbi. Okay, so just, you know, FYI. Well, let's do the penis watch, and then we'll do the top five today, which, by the way, in case you didn't hear this, it's the top five songs to which Seamus' parents may have been having sex in order to create him. He also is apparently, he's wondering exactly how it is that I know what year he was born in.
Oh, well.
You know the answer to that, Don.
The internet's?
It's hacking. It's always hacking.
Yeah.
All right, here's Don Taylor.
Penis watch.
Here's your penis watch for Wednesday, right here on the Rick Emerson radio program. Now, see, now it's instant karma because we're making fun of the bone guys. I can't find the penis watch button. Wait, hold on. Yeah, there we go.
Take a look at my enormous penis.
Because it's Wiener Wednesday.
I take a look at my enormous penis.
Santa, everything is going my way.
Here's Don Taylor with your penis watch.
An African man is struggling to come to terms with the loss of his penis last week. Mr. Ronald Ole Kitari, 27, told the African newspaper The Nation he never imagined that a woman he had come to adore could savagely attack him.
There's just one stage of grief there, and it's just, come on!
The man is now recuperating at Coast General Hospital in Mombasa, and he has vowed never to trust any woman in his life after his fiancée's vicious attack.
I don't really know that he's going to be put in a position where that's an issue from now on.
Mr. Kitari, who works as a security guard in Diani, separated from his wife early this year as a result of infidelity, bringing to an end their four-year relationship. He then fell in love with another woman and was planning to marry her, only to be hit by the blow of losing his manhood last week. He claimed his girlfriend arrived home looking drunk, a state he had never seen her in before, sparking a quarrel between them. I tried to inquire why she was drunk, but instead of answering me, she confronted me, Mr. Kitari said from his hospital bed. He added, my fiancé, who I plan to marry in the next few months, arrived home about 8 p.m. and we differed for a few minutes, but later we reconciled. Mr. Kitari said the woman claimed his estranged wife abused her over the phone for being other people's, quote, man snatcher, an issue she did not take kindly. Due to that, she threatened to do something to ensure I will not have any other woman in my life. But after some discussion, we resolved our differences and came to terms, he said. I thought all was well. We even made love that night. But because it was a hot night, I decided to sleep on a mat while my fiancé spent the night in the bed. I never thought she still had a grudge against me. But at about 12 a.m., she sneaked and chopped off my penis using a kitchen knife. She threw the organ away, he claimed. On Monday, Faith Kamulu, 20, denied the charges of chopping off Mr. Kitari's penis before a Kowali court. Mr. Kitari said on Tuesday that he had become unconscious that night, but after a while regained consciousness and found the woman stunned at what she had done. I was bleeding profusely, and I was rescued by my neighbors, who heard me yelling for help, he said. He said the neighbors arrested the woman and handed her over to the police when they arrived at his house. He said police took him to Masimbiweni Hospital, where he was treated and later referred to Coast General Hospital. The woman is still in police cells waiting for Mr. Kitari to record a statement with the police. The victim told The Nation he would never forgive the woman who cut off his penis.
I said I wanted a separation, but this is ridiculous. Ah, okay.
That's your story for Wiener Wednesday.
There you go. That's where did that happen?
Africa.
Okay. Just making a note. All right. Just going to close this out. Hold on.
Again, it's the whole Phil Hartman thing. If your woman is violent and you have a big fight with her and she threatens to do something to you, Don't go to sleep and turn your back on her.
Well, first of all, you do it at her place. That's the thing. This is why you don't let chicks, especially crazy chicks, who be tripping. You don't let them come to your head because you want to be able to leave and to not have them follow you home. That's the that is the thing. Especially if you have reason to believe that they're going to be nuts. And no guy, just this is just like, you know, the woman who got hit in the face with the guy's junk like several times. She's like, it was unconscious. The fourth time he hit me with the penis. The ninth time he hit me with the penis. Well, it's like if you're with some chick who's going to set fire to your balls or something, it's like that's not a thing that just comes out of the blue. There are telltale signs. There are harbingers of that sort of a thing. All right, here's your that's your penis watch for Wednesday right here on the Rick Emerson
Take
radio program. By the way, more lulls. Apparently the the lulls sec folks have they've now denialist serviced the CIA.gov website.
Oh, God.
This is all going to end so badly and fantastically. All right. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't forget to join us tomorrow when our guests will include... Wait. Aaron Cronin. Our guest will include Aaron Cronin, who is the author creator of a comic book, which is going to be released this coming Sunday. And I sound like an ignorant tool right now because I don't have the information in front of me right now. He was
I saw him at Geek Trivia last night, waving it around,
and I don't have the name of his comic in front of me right now, so I'm attempting to rustle that up
and
right
I
now.
I promise I will not call him Aaron Cronin the Barbarian.
No, see, because you don't want to do that. It's Cognition is the name of the comic, so it's going to be. The signing is going to be happening this Sunday. It's going to be happening at Mississippi Studios. There's two things back to back, actually. There's the signing, which is happening at Bridge City Comics. Then there is the release party, which is going to be happening at Mississippi Studios. Now, it is all happening this coming Sunday, the 19th. So the signing is happening at 5 p.m., Bridge City Comics, and then the party afterwards happening at 7:30 p.m. at Mississippi Studios. And that is Aaron Cronin. His comic is Cognition. And it is about a robot who achieves some degree of self-awareness. So he's going to be in the studio with us tomorrow talking about his book Cognition. And again, the signing and the release party back-to-back at Bridge City Comics and Mississippi Studios this coming Sunday, respectively. We'll have more about that tomorrow, and he'll be on the studio. He'll be in the studio on the show tomorrow. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for joining us. Without further ado, oh, by the way, as I hand you the top five list, I should also say that Don Taylor is going to be hearable this afternoon, 4 p.m. Pacific time over at Cascadia.fm as part of Hamfisted Radio, along with Bobby Roberts. You can catch the show later on at HamfistedRadio.com as well. What's on the agenda today, Don?
Not a clue. It's going to be one of those free-for-all days where I show up and we just chat about whatever we chat about.
You're doing this one.
Okay.
Bottom of the right-hand page there. All right, ladies and germs, I now give you the songs from 9 months prior to the birth of our good friend Seamus, who celebrates his birthday today. Here is your top
five
for Wednesday.
4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, these are the top five songs from 9 months prior to the birth of our good friend Seamus, who celebrates his birthday today, turning... Did I already say how old he was? Well, I said the year, so he's 34.
Yeah.
Turning 34 today, and these are the top five songs as compiled by Mr. Joel Whitburn in his Billboard Top 100 book.
So the last one here?
Yeah, so we start at number six. So number six will be the honorable mention there.
Well, I just want to make sure it was the last
entry.
Yeah,
it's the last one on the right-hand page.
Fleetwood Mac is our honorable mention with Don't Stop.
That's
fitting.
Here's the thing. I didn't even plan it this way. I swear to you, like nearly every song on the top five has some sort of weird sexual bent to it or could be read as a double entendre. We've always already managed to elicit an all caps ew, so. Here's the thing. I know that Rumors is one of those albums that people kind of hate because they've heard it 5 skillion times. I have to say, and I may be one of the only people in the world who can say this, up to and including, of course, the members of Fleetwood Mac, I have actually never gotten tired of most of the songs on Rumors. They're actually so well constructed. There's a handful of songs that I have never burned out on, even though classic rock radio does their very best just to make you retch at just a handful of notes. I have never gotten tired of this. I've never gotten tired of most of the stuff on Rumors because it's so immaculately perfect.
This is one of those albums as a youth back in the days of the vinyl that I played it so much that I actually wore it down.
Yeah. Boy, this is one of those things where Mick Fleetwood totally just hit the jackpot because Fleetwood Mac had been around for like 70 years before he got this lineup and before he lucked into having both Lindsay. I mean, it's almost a Beatlesque proportions. You know, the idea that you would have both John Lennon and Paul McCartney in the same band, both writing songs. The fact that you would get Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham in the same group. Because Lindsey Buckingham is, I mean, there was a time when that guy just turned out just fantastically constructed pop songs with just like a wave of his hand. And then Stevie Nicks, who I think for a long time her songwriting was overshadowed by, you know, by the fact that she was hot and she was, you know, witchy and sounded like a goat. And, you know, and was like sleeping with everybody's husband and whatever. And, you know, and she did blow and had a deviated septum and, you know, and all this sort of scandalous, gossipy stuff. But in recent years, I think, you know, people have really come to... She's like Dolly Parton in a way that everybody... You know, kind of Dolly Parton never really got her due for a lot of the 80s because she just had such a bimbette image going on. But, you know, Stevie Nicks, I think, has really... There's been a resurgence in recognition of her as a songwriter. And the fact that you have both of them in the same band is just, like, amazing. These are the top five songs from, I would imagine, probably playing in the background as Seamus' parents created him in the back of an Impala.
Number 5B, The Floaters, Float On.
I have to say, I actually don't know this song. Oh, wait, now I do. I totally know the song. I know the song because it gets included in films a lot.
Aquarius.
Oh, this.
And my name is Rally. Now I like a woman who loves her freedom.
Oh, you totally know this was on the like on the 8-track combo stereo in the Volare while Seamus was being conceived.
Come with me.
Baby, I'm sorry the magic fingers was broken at the Motel 6, but don't you pay that, no, never mind. Mr. Frumke got magic fingers of his own. In fact, he got a magic everything of his own.
Just come right over here to Frumke.
Baby. Baby, you know it is Wednesday. And you know what that means.
You know these seats go back. All the way back.
And my name is Charles. Now I like a woman that's quiet.
Don't make any noise or I'll kill you.
A woman who carries herself like...
And don't
Miss
look
Universe.
Me in the eye. Never look me in the eye.
Wow. Okay, I'm playing this entire thing tomorrow. These are the... I just wish I'd heard this. We should have done this as the very first moment in the show. I would have had this playing the entire time just in the background. These are the top five songs from the night of Seamus's, I'm now absolutely convinced, the night of Seamus's conception.
Number 4 is James Taylor, Handyman.
What kind of man?
Handyman.
Oh, that's right. James Taylor and Handyman, number 4 on the list here on the Rick Emerson radio program. Oh, wait. Oh, my lulls are being, lulls are being thwarted. Wait, no. There we go. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Time to bring it down. Way down.
This is the best version of this top five we've ever done. This is the best instance of this top five theme that has ever been done on this show.
Yes.
Oh, my God. We've never had a top five based on this theme that was ever this solid from top to bottom. Oh, wow. There's not enough scrubbing in the world.
I'm looking for mine. See how far up it is in the book.
You're like 1940.
Yeah, we're never doing mine.
These are the... I should just have this looping on the stream all night, all day. These are the top five songs from the night of friend Seamus's creation.
Oh, dear Lord. Number three.
That's what I'm saying. Do you see how they just continue to get better?
Number three is Andy Gibb. I just want to be your everything.
Oh, yeah. Baby,
come on, Mrs. Fromke. Come with me.
That phenomint make your breath smell so fine.
For so long, you and me been finding each other for so long. And the feeling that I feel for you is more than stronger. Take it from me. If you give a little more than you're asking for, your love will turn the key.
Apparently, this played. Apparently, this played a great deal at his house when he was a toddler, when Seamus was growing up. This was on the playlist a lot. Oh, along with "Let's Get Physical" by Olivia Newton-John. It's just like the sound of corduroy swishing against corduroy. I'm just hearing the sound of sticky bodies peeling themselves off vinyl seats. That was fine. These are the top five songs presumably playing in the background the night that our friend Seamus was conceived.
Number two, Rita Coolidge. Your love has lifted me higher and higher.
Oh.
Your love is lifting me higher than I've ever.
This is the tender cuddling moment afterward, before round two.
So Seamus was just totally a disco baby.
Completely. This is where they're lighting up a cool afterward. Staring out the windshield at the stars.
Peeling Kleenex out of those little tiny pack travel packets.
You want a Tic Tac?
I think there's still a little of this wine cooler left.
No, don't worry about that. It's velour. That'll come right out. Fantastic. I'm so glad we did this. That's me as me, by the way, not as Seamus' parents. By the way, we're going to wrap this up here in a second. Dawn Taylor can be heard at Cascadia.fm, 4 p.m. Pacific time for Ham-Fisted Radio. Greg and Sarah will be here for FunEmploymentRadio.com a little bit later. And I think I might be making an appearance on the show today. I'm not sure. I think I might be having to solve Encyclopedia Brown mysteries. I swear to you. Join us tomorrow. Our guests will include Mr. Aaron Cronin, creator of the new comic book Cognition. And then Friday, Big Jim Willig with another installment of Humor Me, Comedy 101. These are the top five songs presumably playing in the background the night that our friend Seamus was conceived. What is number one on that list, Dawn Taylor?
Number one is The Emotions, Best of My Love.
Woo! This is right as a... Shall we go again? And then, like, the montage plays of them, like, you know, at the carnival, and then getting cotton candy. And then he's, like, hitting the hammer, the thing with the hammer where the thing goes up and hits the bell.
Then she slams into him on the bumper cars, and they both laugh uproariously.
Yeah. And then he wins her, like, a stuffed animal, you know? And then it's like they're just humping on the trunk again later. Excellent.
Meanwhile, little Seamus is just swimming upstream.
That's a Zygotian, Seamus. Thank you for listening. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, it's Dawn Taylor, Advanced Technology and Magic, provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, Executive Producer, Bruce Sackler, Chief of Staff, Shio Kanakoa. We thank you all for listening. We will be back again tomorrow at noon for Legion of News, and then another installment of this very fine radio program. We'll have an encore going 24/7 on the stream after this. We thank you all for listening. It is Wednesday, June 15th, 2011, and that is the Frequency. Kenneth, as always, thanks for listening. Be safe. See you all tomorrow.
Bye now.